إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. So far, and tonight is going to be the last night, so we have to, there's two things I have to do, is just get this one point out of the way, and to do it, inshallah, in a short period of time. So, yesterday what we began, or what we started, was the foundations of the Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. So we mentioned the chain of narration, and we reached Abduz bin Malik al-Attar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who said, سمعت أبا عبد الله أحمد بن محمد بن حنبل يقول, that I heard Imam Ahmad, that he said, أصول سنة عندنا, that the foundations of the Sunnah with us are, التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the foundations of the Sunnah with us are that is to hold fast to that which the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon, وَالْإِقْتِدَاءُ بِهِمْ, and to hold on to that, or to emulate them and take them as a model and an example to be followed. So thereafter he mentions وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةُ, he mentions وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةُ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ فَهِيَ ضَلَالَةٌ, he mentions, and this is of course the second of those fundamentals of the Sunnah. The first of them being holding fast to that which the companions were upon. The second of them being to abandon innovations. وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةِ وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ فَهِيَ ضَلَالَةٌ, for indeed every innovation, it is misguidance. So Imam Ahmad mentions that here, and this is of course from the Kitab and the Sunnah and the Ijma, to abandon innovations. اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُم مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, where Allah mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, the third ayah, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, follow that which has been revealed. اتِّبَاع, Allah mentions the term اتِّبَاع, اتَّبِعُوا, meaning follow that which Allah has revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow other than that from friends and protectors, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَلِيلٌ مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, little is it that you take admonition. So here Allah affirms first and foremost اتِّبَاع of the wahi, meaning to follow the revelations. Because Allah mentions, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, follow that which has been revealed from your Lord to you. And that is revelation, kitab and sunnah. Then secondly, he negates the ittiba or the mutaba'a, to follow anyone other than the revelation, meaning nothing takes precedence over the revelations. Likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and be careful or beware of the newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, because the Prophet ﷺ said, for indeed every newly introduced matter into the religion is an accursed innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. The hadith, or a portion of the hadith of, that is well known from Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu. Likewise, the hadith in the Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ, that whomsoever innovates into this religion of ours that which is not from it, then it is rejected. Meaning this religion of ours is based upon revelation. Kitab, قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ, and that which the Sahaba were upon, in accordance with that which we mentioned yesterday, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that whomsoever opposes the path of the Sahaba, then we will leave him in the path he had chosen, burn him in the hellfire, and what an evil destination. So Allah, and it's likewise the statement of Allah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ, that Allah has mentioned that the first and foremost to believe from the muhajirin, from the ansar, and those who follow them, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who follow them precisely, then Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with him. Likewise, The statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu with regard to innovations, he mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَتَبَدُّعُ. إِيَّاكُمْ meaning beware of innovating and of overburdening. تَنَبْدُعُ beware of overburdening. Beware of delving too deeply into the affairs. وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْعَبِيقُ and binding upon you is the old age-old affair. Meaning binding upon you is that which was revelation in the beginning. And likewise, there's a tremendous statement from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, which about which Shaykh al-Albani said that this statement is a weapon against Ahlul Bid'ah, those who hold it permissible to innovate into the deen of Allah. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, who's from the students of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who died in the year 94 after the Hijrah. Died in the year Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and from the greatest of those that he narrates from is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, died 94 after the Hijrah, he saw a man, أَنَّهُ رَأَى رَجُلًا يُسَلِّ بَعْدَ طُلُوِ الْفَجْرِ, that he saw a man who was praying after Fajr began. So Fajr, the Adhan for Fajr is called, and he started to pray. And he started praying because normally after the Adhan for Fajr is called, how many raka'ahs are there? Two. Alright. This man started praying more than two raka'ahs. And in those two raka'ahs, that he would extend the ruku'ah. Or it could be understood that he would make more than one ruku'ah in every raka'ah. So Sa'id ibn Musayyib forbade him from that. He told him, stop, what you're doing is wrong, stop. He said, Ya Aba Muhammad, يُعَذِّبُنِ اللَّهِ, that will Allah punish me ala salat? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish me because I'm praying? So Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, no. He said, لا. وَلَكِنْ يُعَذِّبُكَ عَلَى خِلَافِ السُّنَّةِ, rather Allah will punish you due to your opposition to the sunnah. And this has been reported by Al-Bayhaqi and Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. He said it is a sahih narration from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So now, Shaykh Al-Albani, as I mentioned, Shaykh Al-Albani said this is from the greatest of the weapons against Ahlul Bid'ah. Those who claim that the Salafis warn the people from worshipping Allah. So when you say to a person, what you're doing is haram, stop it. He says, Ya Akhi, I'm making salah, you're stopping me from salah. Are you telling me that Allah will punish me for praying? Say, no, Allah does not punish you for praying, but rather Allah punishes for you opposing the sunnah. So nowadays, even with the Khawarij, when you say to the Khawarij, what you're doing, what you call jihad is not jihad. What you're doing is haram, stop it. What is their response? Oh, these Salafis are forbidding us, they are forbidding us from performing jihad. That's the argument. They say the Salafis, stop us, we want to make jihad, they're saying don't make jihad. It is not that we prevent from jihad, rather we prevent you from opposing the sunnah. It is, this is what we are opposing. You call it jihad, it's not jihad, it's fasad, it's corruption. The Shia, they say the Salafis forbid us from loving Ahlul Bayt. We don't forbid you from loving Ahlul Bayt. We forbid you from going to ghulu with Ahlul Bayt, going to exaggeration and worshipping them and taking them as intercessors between you and Allah. Or calling upon them directly for aid and assistance. And that in your love of them that you begin to hate the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and you declare them kuffar. It is not the love of Ahlul Bayt because we love Ahlul Bayt. Because they are the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise the Sufis and the Quburis, the grave worshippers. They say, look at these Salafis. These Salafis are forbidding us from dhikr. And they are forbidding us from making dua. It is not the dhikr that we forbid you from. It's the manner in which you perform the dhikr that is haram. Just like in the time of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that those people were sitting in the masjid in the time of this Sahabi, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was with him. And when he saw them, they were sitting in a circle counting pebbles. Just like you see Muslims doing today. When someone dies, they gather a whole heap of pebbles or date stones or whatever, and they start making dhikr after the death of someone. Or they start making, reciting the Quran, they say we're going to recite the Quran 150 times because someone has died. Oh, we're going to recite Surah Yasin such and such number of times because so and so has died. So they innovate these types of affairs, or even with regard to other types of adhkar that they make. If you make a certain type or if you mention Allah's name, Al-Ghani, like they say, if you mention it 2,500 times, then Allah will make you rich. Or if you say Ar-Rahman, just Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman a certain number of times, then Allah will enter your parents into Jannah, and so on and so forth. This first and foremost is not dhikr. Dhikr is not to take one name of Allah and to repeat it constantly. That is not dhikr. And that is not considered dhikr in the Sharia. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took one name of Allah and repeated it over and over again. You will not find any hadith. You will not find any hadith where you find the Messenger of Allah saying Allah, 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 or even Allahu, Allahu. Never. No hadith. You will not find any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Ar-Rahman, 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 Al-Quddus, Al-Quddus. Never. Rather, what you find in the adhkar of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah, the most perfect, free of all imperfections. Or you'll find Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Or you'll find Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greater. Or Allah is the greatest, nothing greater than Allah. Or you'll find La ilaha illallah, which was the most beloved of adhkar and the remembrances for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the anbiya, that this is what they used to utter on Yawmul Arafah and other than Yawmul Arafah. So this is what you find from the dhikr. So it is not the dhikr that we forbid you from, but it is the counting. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud saw them counting, and the dhikr that they were making, the wording was correct. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. So they would say Subhanallah, and they would say it 100 times, counting the pebbles, and those who were sitting around, the head of the man at the head of the circle, they would repeat after him. So then they would start again, and then say Alhamdulillah 100 times. So each pebble, Alhamdulillah. Second pebble, Alhamdulillah. Third pebble, Alhamdulillah. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, what are you doing? What are you doing? They said, we're making dhikr. He said, we, the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are still widespread. Look at the hujjah. Look at the proof of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They know that their behavior is an evidence for the generations that come after them. That's why we mentioned the ayah, Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 100. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْعَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. The first and foremost to believe from the Muhajirin and the Ansar and those who follow them. So the people they are to know from the Quran, directly from the Quran itself, that you are to follow the Sahaba, then Allah will be pleased with you. Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. And Allah has promised them to enter them into the gardens of paradise, under which rivers flow, to remain there in eternity. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the most supreme, and that is the supreme success. So they know, so he's telling them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, here I am. The Sahaba are widespread. His clothing is still being worn, it is not worn out. And his crockery has not yet broken. O Ummah of Muhammad, how quickly you run to your destructions. You run to your destruction. How quickly. Either you are upon a religion better than the religion of Muhammad, and that's not possible. Or you're upon a path of misguidance. They're upon misguidance. They said, Ya Abu Abdurrahman. They said, we only intended good. He said, how many people intend good, but they don't reach it? How many people intend good, but they don't reach it? So the mistake that they were making was the manner in which they were making dhikr. They were making it in chorus. And they were counting pebbles. Muslims still do that till this day. What Abdullah ibn Mas'ud forbade them from, they still do it till this day. Abu Muhammad, Abu Muhammad al-Hassan Ali bin Ali al-Barbahari rahimahullah, the great imam, the author of Sharh al-Sunnah, he mentioned, وَحْذَرْ مِنْ صِغَارِ الْمُحْدَثَاتِ. He said, beware of the small innovations. For indeed, فَإِنَّ صِغَارَ الْبِدْعَ تَعُودُ حَتَّى تَسِيرُ الْكِبَارِ. He said, for indeed the small innovations, they grow up until they become great. Now the reason I mention this is because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he was talking to those people and he forbade them from what they were doing, they said, we only making dhikr. But the mode in which they were making dhikr was not mentioned and it is not reported in the Kitab and the Sunnah. It is what it, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum found it something alien. But at the end of the narration, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, indeed I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that there will appear a group of people, they will recite the Qur'an and it will not go beyond their throats. And perhaps you are them. Khawarij, perhaps you are them. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud left them. And they persisted. The narrator mentioned, by Allah, I saw the very same people at Nahrawan fighting against Ali radiallahu anhu. Where did it begin? Counting pebbles in the masjid. We're making dhikr. You're going to forbid us from dhikr. So then they felt that this dhikr that we're making, we're only doing it for Allah. Then shaitan grabbed them. You reject the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A Sahabi is telling you and you're not accepting. So they continued up until shaitan led them astray, up until they fought against the fourth caliph, Ali radiallahu anhu, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not a single Sahabi differed. Not one Sahabi differed in his position against the Khawarij. Not one. Not one Sahabi. Some of the scholars, they mention that when the battle took place, or the difference took place between the Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves over a matter of ijtihad, then the Sahaba generally, the vast body of the Sahaba kept out of it. Except for a handful, they remained. But the vast majority of the Sahaba, they kept out of the tribulation that took place between the Sahaba. But when he came against the Khawarij, all of them united against the Khawarij. So beware of the small innovations, for indeed they will lead, they will grow up until they become great. Then he said, Imam al-Barbahari, وَكَذَلِكَ كل بدعة حدثت في هذه الأمة كان أولها صغيرا يشبه الحق. He said, likewise, every bid'ah that befell this ummah in its early time, in the beginning, it was something that was small, resembling the truth. And whoever entered into it was deceived by it. And then, ثُمَّ, he mentions, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَسْتَطِيعْ الْخُرُوجَ مِنْهَا. Then he was unable to leave it. Khawarij, they began with their bid'ah, something small, resembling the truth. Resembling the truth. So this is how shaitan begins. Shaitan does not come with huge innovations to begin with. He comes to the people with something small of deviation, resembling the truth. So much so that sometimes the heart may look at it and the heart may have a fondness for what it sees. Because shaitan wants to misguide you with that which resembles the truth, as close to the truth as possible. Ibn Qayyim mentions the same thing. He said, when you look at the bid'ah of the Jahmiyyah, those who deny all of the names and attributes of Allah, in essence they are atheists. Because they regard Allah, to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist, because He has no names, no attributes, nothing that you can describe with. Allah to them is nothing. That it is a, something that does not exist at all to the Jahmiyyah. This is why the likes of Shaykh al-Fawzan in these times and others, that they describe Allah with nothingness, as if Allah does not exist. But Ibn Qayyim mentioned that the most harmful to Ahlul Sunnah, the most harmful to Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah from them, are who are the Mufawwidha. The Mufawwidha. The Mufawwidha are those who say that, yes, we accept these names and attributes of Allah. In the Quran we accept all of them. And in the Sunnah we accept all of them. But then they say, as for their meaning, we make tafweed of the meaning. Meaning that we relegate the meaning to Allah. We don't know what it means. So we don't know what it means when Allah says that He is Al-Aleem. Or that He made istiwa over the arsh, or over His arsh. That He ascended over His arsh. They say we don't know what it means. They say we don't know what it means when Allah says that He gets angry. Ghadab, they say we don't know what it means as it relates to Allah. Allah has two hands. They say we don't know what it means, the two hands of Allah. But we affirm all of the names and attributes. Ibn Qayyim said they are more dangerous to Ahlul Sunnah than the open Jahmiyyah, who openly say Allah has no hands, doesn't get angry, doesn't get pleased, does not have any love. So the ones who so the haq, those who resemble the haq, and they come closer
to the resembling of Ahlul Haqq and the people of truth, they are the ones who are the most dangerous to us. For example, if I was to speak, or if a person such as, for example, from the Jews or the Christians was to come to us and give da'wah to his religion, how many Muslims would accept him? That's why the da'wah of Jehovah's Witnesses is dead as far as the Muslims are concerned. They don't do anything. The only Muslim that ever joined them is one who is majnoon, one who is insane in his head. You find that the efforts of Jehovah's Witnesses don't work with the Muslims, wherever they are in the world. Generally, they don't work. Maybe after generation after generation after generation, where the Muslims have lost their religion altogether, maybe they might be able to grab a person like this. Other than that, they can't grab anybody. Why? Because the Muslim knows that this man is not from our deen. Then someone knocks on your door, and he says, "Salaamu alaikum, brother." Say, "Walaikum salam." Now the Muslims take me. Why? Because he's a Muslim now. It's not Jonathan that has knocked on your door from the local church. Because now you know, if you knock, you be polite to him, he's a Christian, you be polite to him. And in your heart is, "Khalas, I'm going to be nice to him," because the Muslims are taught to be nice. Even to the non-Muslims, we are nice. Alhamdulillah, we treat them with kindness. Come in, have a tea, have a biscuit. No problem. Give him da'wah. That's in your mind. But this one knocks on your door. Knocks and says, "Salaamu alaikum, brother." He says, "Walaikum salam." You see him now, he has a beard, he has a fold, he has a garment. He looks, the Islamic identity is upon him. He says, "My name is Abdul Rahman, and I've come from India, and I've come to knock on your door to invite you to the masjid, and we will teach you Iman." Straight away now, the unsuspecting Muslim is taken aback. Because now he's not thinking, "I'm going to give him da'wah, like you would do with the Christian." Now you know straight away that this man has come with some knowledge to call you to something. This is the thing now. So now you will let your guard down as far as the deen is concerned. As far as the deen is concerned, because now you're not in fear of your deen. Because as far as you're concerned, this is Abdul Rahman, he's Muslim, I'm a Muslim. So now he invites you and he calls you to the masjid. And then they enter you into their bid'ah from Jamaat al-Tabligh. They will enter you into their bid'ah, and then you end up joining their organization, joining their ideology, which of course is in opposition to the ideology of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the bid'ah that comes initially, it resembles in its early time, it resembles the truth. And then when a person enters into it, his heart becomes attached to it. And then he finds it difficult to leave it. وَسَارَتْ دِينًا يُدَانُ بِهِ Then it becomes a religion that a person lives by. He makes it his religion. The bid'ah becomes his religion now. فَخَالَفَ الصِّرَاطِ And then he opposes the straight path. فَخَرَجَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ And that may even lead him to exiting Islam altogether. Like in some innovations, that the innovation becomes so great that the person now starts actually worshipping and making his ibadah to the dead one in his grave. Calling upon him. Relying upon him. Having tawakkul in him. Seeking isti'ana by him. Seeking refuge in him. Isti'adha. So he seeks refuge with the dead one in the grave. Seeks his aid and seeks his assistance. Because the bid'ah when it began may have been something small that he didn't even recognize. Now you see the people, they say, "Ya akhi, look, the Muslims are suffering." So now every time you talk to this person, all he's talking about is politics, politics. So now he's the way that he's come to you now, he's telling you about the suffering of the Muslims in the world. Do you not see how the Muslims are suffering in Iraq? Muslims are suffering in Afghanistan. Muslims are suffering in Syria. Muslims are suffering in Palestine. Look how they are being harmed. So now the whole discussion revolves around the political situation of the Muslims. Every time you see this man, that's all he's talking about. This is where he starts. He's not telling you to take a gun. All he's telling you is, "Look, ya akhi, the Muslims are suffering. Who's helping them, ya akhi?" Stage two. Who's helping them? Where is the help for them now? Look how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to care for each other. Look how the strength of Islam used to be in the early part, in generations ago, in the early generations of Islam. So now he shifts slightly. But the shift from there to there is gentle. It's almost something that is imperceptible. Difficult to recognize. But the one who is aware, as soon as a person now makes the center point of his discussion, what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Egypt, what's happening in Libya, what's happening in Nigeria, what's happening in Somalia, what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Iraq and Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now, every time you meet him, this is a discussion. Then he says, who's helping them? Who's going to help these suffering people? Where are the help for this ummah? Then it comes to the next stage. Look at the rulers. But now, by this time, you're listening to the discourse. You have been drawn into this discussion now. And you've absorbed, and maybe you feel a bit of what he's saying to you. And it's settling in your heart. Who's helping them, akhi? Where are the rulers today? Where is the Umar bin Abdul Aziz? Where is the Salahuddin Ayyubi? Where is Umar bin Al-Khattab? Where are these types of rulers? He hasn't made ta'an in the rulers yet. Even though there is, between the lines if you read, he's making a criticism of the Muslim rulers as they stand. So he takes it to the third stage. This is radicalization. If you study how the Khawarij work, all over the world, this is how they work. They work on your emotions. So that now you start thinking to yourself, who's caring for them? We see people dying in the streets. Who's helping them? So then they take you to the next stage. These rulers are corrupt. That's why they're not helping the Muslims. They're corrupt. Next stage, not only are they corrupt, they don't judge what Allah has revealed. And the one who does not judge what Allah has revealed, what is he, akhi? You say, well, what is he? Isn't he bad? Yes, he's bad. No, he's not only bad. You know what Allah says in the Quran? Come, let me show you. He flicks. Surah Ma'idah. He says, look, Surah Ma'idah, look at this ayah. Allah said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهِ. Whoever does not judge what Allah has revealed. Look, there's justice in the judgment of Allah. And whomsoever does not judge what Allah has revealed, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. They are the disbelievers. He says, oh, that's in the Quran. Akhi, can the words of Allah be wrong? No, the words of Allah cannot be wrong. So the rulers are kuffar? Yes, they're kuffar. But let's just keep it between ourselves for now. Secrecy. Then the next stage. Let me introduce you to others who feel like us. Who are thinking like we think. Now they've drawn him in. This is what Barbahari is talking about. They begin at something that may even resemble concern for the ummah. Of course, as Muslims, we are obligated to have concern for the ummah. مَثْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِهِمْ وَتَرَاهُمِهِمْ وَبَعَافْتُوفِهِمْ كَمَثْلُ الْجَسِدِ. That the believers in their mutual love for each other and their mutual mercy for each other and their affection for each other are like one body. This is wajib upon the Muslims to have this concern for each other. The Muslims are like one body, the Prophet ﷺ said, like a building. One part supporting the other. But when the discussion comes, it's all around politics, politics. Then eventually they take you to that point where all of the rulers... So which of the rulers, ya akhi, judges by Allah? None of them. None of them judge by Allah's revealed. So all of them, kuffar, says, yes, all of them. It's not me telling you, Allah says it. Allah is telling you. All of them kuffar. Look, aren't the Americans in Saudi Arabia? Say, so, yeah. Does Allah love the Americans? No. So what are they doing in Saudi Arabia? Why are they air base and military base in Saudi Arabia? See, that's not judgment of Allah, kuffar. If Saudi is kafir, then what remains? If the Saudi rulers in their eyes are kuffar, then who is not a kafir? Then all of the rest of the regimes topple after that. Now we are living where? Ya akhi, you know what we are living in? We are living in Darul Harb. We are living in a land of war because Allah's judgment is not being established. So what? Even in Trinidad? Yes. Even in Trinidad? Yes. But don't tell anyone yet. This is between us, they say. So they keep this secrecy amongst themselves. Keep this amongst themselves. And then they start entering into their discussions and in their gatherings and so on. And then before you know it, they end up in Syria. This is how they lead the people astray with bid'ah. The Salaf of this ummah, they knew. Barbahari, when he spoke about it, 329, he died. Over 1,000 years ago, he spoke about this affair. So then he said, Barbahari, look at the wisdom of these ulama. Over 1,000 years ago, to protect you and protect me, and protect those who were around him at that time. Look what he said. He said, فَانْظُرْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ كُلُّ مَنْ سَمِعْتَ كَلَامَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ زَمَانِكَ خَاصَّةً. He said, look and investigate, may Allah have mercy upon you. From everyone who speaks in your time, especially in your time. فَلَا تَعْجَلَنَّ وَلَا تَدْخُلَنَّ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ. And he said, look at the speech of everyone in your time. And do not be hasty regarding it. And do not enter into any affair from that which you have been called to and that which people are speaking about. حَتَّى تَسْعَلْ وَتَنْظُرْ. Up until you question and you investigate. هَلْ تَكَلَّمَ فِيهِ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Did any of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ speak out? This man is speaking. Did the Sahaba radiallahu anhum make the center point of all of their discussion what's happening in this land and that land and the state of the Ummah and this one's being destroyed and that one's being destroyed? Sahaba never. Sahaba began like the Anbiya, they began. وَلَقَدْ بَأَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةِ الرَّسُولَ أَنْ نِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. We did not send except a messenger to every nation calling them to the worship of Allah and away from the worship of the false deities. When Mu'adh bin Jabal was sent to Yemen, he said, Ya Mu'adh, I'm sending you to a people from the people of the book. Let the first thing that you call them to is that they single out Allah alone with worship. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. Then inform them if they accept that from you and they know that and they acknowledge that, that Allah has obligated upon them the 5 daily prayers in the day and in the night. Look at the way that the Sahaba gave da'wah. Look at the way. So what these people are doing in essence is opposing the manhaj of the Sahaba. So this is why Barbahari said, did the Sahaba speak with this speech that they are speaking with? Did any of the Sahaba regard what they're calling to, whether it be the Jahmiyyah, whether it be the Quburiyya, the great worshippers, whether it be those who celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day, every year, every single year they go out and celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without a single shred of evidence. They are better than Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. They love Muhammad more than they love Muhammad, yet they didn't celebrate. But you celebrate? Or those who go out in the first 10 days of Muharram, beating themselves and cutting their bodies and cutting the bodies of their children, wives and children with chains and blades from the Shia. And you see the streets filled with blood as they torture themselves. I say, why do you do it? They say, oh, we are making reparation. And we are mourning the loss of Hussein because we didn't come out to help Hussein. Who was better? Hussein or his father? His father was better, Ali. Ali was also murdered. So why don't you take his day as another day of beating for yourselves? Do us all a favor. Better than Ali was the father-in-law of Ali radiallahu anhu, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why don't you take that as a day of beating for yourselves? And you know, every month beat yourselves. Rid us. Rid us. Look, then he mentioned, up until you asked, were any of the companions were upon it? Oh, أَهَدٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاء. Or any of the ulama with you in this position. Who is with you? So then he said, and if you find a narration, an athar, concerning the issue that has been brought to you, فَتَمَسَّكْ بِهِ. Then hold fast to it. وَلَا تُجَاوِزُهُ لِشَيْءٍ. And do not go beyond. Do not go beyond the affair, beyond the bounds with regard to it. And do not give preference to anything over it. And thereby you slip into the fire. Meaning stick to the way of the Sahaba. Stick to the ulama, for in that there is safety. In that there is safety. The mushkila, my brothers and sisters in our times, is that many of the brothers and sisters, they're all too often they're driven by emotion. And their desire to unite the ummah. They say, Ya Akhi, we're sick of the splitting of the ummah. Why can't we just unite? We say, Alhamdulillah, that's what we're saying, unite. What does it mean, bihablillah? Hold on to the rope of Allah. What's the rope of Allah? Tawheed, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. It is Tawheed, it is Ikhlas, it is Mutaba'a, it is the Sahaba, it is the Jama'a, it is the Aqeedah. All of these Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. Ibn Abd al-Barr, 4 centuries before Ibn Taymiyyah, said the same thing. He said, the Hablullah, it is the Jama'ah, meaning the Sahaba, and the Jama'ah is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Meaning hold on to that which the Sahaba held on to, the Kitab, the Sunnah, the Tawheed, Revelation, Wahi. So we say hold on, and we should not be disunited, that all of us should be united upon the Kitab and the Sunnah. But that is the basis of our unity. Kitab and Sunnah. and the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And our way is to keep away from that which leads to splitting. And the biggest thing that leads to splitting is innovation in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you speak about Allah without knowledge. That you introduce into the deen of Allah that which is not from the deen of Allah. Thereby causing splitting in the ranks of Ahlul Sunnah, splitting in the ranks of the Muslimin. There's much that can be said. In fact, the whole book in front of me is dealing with the whole issue. This issue. There's a tremendous one or two statements and then we'll conclude inshallah, just to make the gathering small and short. There's a narration by Ibn Waddah with an authentic, and he mentions, بِسَنَدٍ رِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتٍ. All of the narrators in the chain of narration are trustworthy. From Abi Uthman al-Nahdi, who said, كَتَبَ عَامِلٌ لِعُمَرْ إِبْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّ هَا هُنَا قَوْمًا يَجْتَمِعُونَ فَيَدْعُونَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلِلْأَمِيرِ. That Umar ibn al-Khattab, an appointed worker of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, wrote to him that there are some people in that location where he's staying, he said, where we are, there's a group of people here who come together. And they come together to make dua for the Muslims. Walil Amir, and to make dua for the ruler. So they appoint a certain place or a certain day, and the Muslims, they get together, and they make dua for the rest of the Muslims, and for the Amir. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, he wrote back to him. He said, bring them, come to me and bring them with you. Come to me and bring them with you. So he came with them. So Umar radiallahu anhu said to the guards, he said to them, prepare for me a whip. So when they entered, and they entered upon Umar, and the leader of them, he started walking towards Umar to greet him. So Umar, as he came close, Umar took the whip and started beating him. As a punishment for doing something that the Sahaba did not do and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not do. And as the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the ruler, he can establish the had. So the establishment of the had, he made it upon him. But even that, we're not going to accept it. One deviation, one shred of hair deviation from the Sunnah, we're not... So Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, was asked the question. They said, yeah, Shaykh Nasir, Mujaddid of this era, Imam fil Hadith, one of the great scholars of Hadith, probably the greatest scholar of Hadith in the last 200 years or more, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. Shaykh al-Albani was asked the question, yes, Shaykh, with how many innovations does the person leave Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah? Is it one innovation? Or does he have to have a bunch of innovations before he leaves Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah? He said, if a person has istimrar upon one bid'ah, after the Iqamatul Hujjah has been established upon him, then he is a Mubtadi' Dal. And then he makes tafsir with regard to the Ijtihadat of the Ulama. That if they have Ijtihad, and if they have a what? Meaning if they strive to come to the truth and they have something of evidence with them, and they are establishing their belief upon that evidence, and they have Salaf with them, then we don't declare them to be innovators. Like, for example, the difference between whether the Salatul Taraweeh is limited to 11 or 20 or more than 20. The ulama, they differ. So that is not a position whereby you say, oh, Ibn Uthaymeen said that 8 is best, but if you pray more than 8, you know, 14 or 16 or 20 or 40, that is mafi haraj, even though it is better to stick to 8. This is the position of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Shaykh al-Albani said, no, 8 is the limit, because Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not exceed upon 11. The hadith of Jabir did not exceed upon 13 inside the month of Ramadan, nor outside the month of Ramadan. So that's the limit, hadith in Bukhari. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, no, that is what is awla, that is what is better. But to exceed upon that, then there are narrations from the Sahaba and so on. Shaykh Ibn Baz, similar to Ibn Uthaymeen, but he gives it, he's even more expansive in the affair that it is allowed. Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentions that it is better to pray more than to pray less. So the ulama, they differ, but you can see each one has an angle and they have salaf. They have a'imma from the salaf with them in this affair. So Shaykh al-Almani said, rahimahullah, however, if the affair is not from these affairs, a person is upon the bid'ah of the Mu'tazila, or a bid'ah that resembles that, or something that is subtle, that the salaf of this ummah were not upon, and he is told, and the evidence is brought to him, and he persists in that, then he is a mubtadi dal. Shaykh Rabi bin Hadi al-Madkhali said, if he falls into one of the well-known innovations, like the bid'ah of the Khawarij, or the Jahmiyyah, or the Qadariyyah, or the Shia, or other than that, or the Asha'ira, then he's a mubtadi from the outset. Because his bid'ah, count him amongst Ahlul Bid'ah from the outset. Absolutely, he's from Ahlul Bid'ah. However, and he says, likewise, those who resemble the great bid'ahs of old, like the bid'ah of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, Jamaat al-Tabligh, Dioband, and so on, that they are innovators who are not considered to be Ahlul Sunnah. All of them. However, if he's a person of Sunnah in the bulk of what he does, then he falls into something from the subtle affairs that is hard to detect because he was deceived. It is not from the great innovations, but something subtle that he didn't even realize. Then the affair is taken to the scholars, and the words of the scholars and the kalam of the scholars are brought to him, and the iqamat al-hujjah is established upon him. If he persists in that, then he is declared to be an innovator. So the issue is here, that if you look at the Khawarij, upon what basis were they, did they leave the jama'ah and become innovators? One bid'ah that Ali does not judge by Allah's reveal, and judgment is only for Allah, and you cannot bring the judgment of men in the affair that belongs to Allah. One affair, bid'ah. Qadariyah. One affair, they denied the qadr, mubtadi'ah, if not even worse than zanadiqah, even worse than that. The murji'ah, one affair, iman does not increase and it does not decrease. Out. Ahlul bid'ah. So the affair is not numbers. The affair is iqamatul hujjah. If the proof has reached him, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ رَسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى, that whomsoever contradicts the Messenger of Allah after the guidance has come to him. Meaning, guidance has to come to him first. This is a radd upon Jamaat al-Takfir. Because they don't believe in iqamatul hujjah. As for us, then we hold it. Finally for today, Imam Darul Hijrah. Who's Imam Darul Hijrah? You should know. Imam Malik, Jazakallah khair. Yes, Imam Malik ibn Anas is Imam Darul Hijrah. What's Darul Hijrah? The land of migration, which is Medina. He's Imam of Darul Hijrah. Died, anyone? 179 after the Hijrah. Dates are important. Because the leaders, the founder of Jamaat al-Tabligh died when? 1928, right? Look at the A'imma that we're quoting. Their A'imma actually died after 1920, but he began Jamaat al-Tabligh in around about the 1920s. Our A'imma, they're in three digits. Right? Three digits. He was, or even two digits. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, 94. Two digits. Right? Malik, 179. Imam Ahmed Usul Sunnah, 241. Look how far back we're going. Ya say, who's your Imam? Muhammad Ilyas al-Kandahalawi. When did he die? Well, 19 something or other. Huh? Hassan al-Banna, 19 something or other. Sayyid Qutb, 1966. These are their A'imma. Look at ours. Look how far back we're going. We're reaching right back into the early affair. Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, he said, من أحدث في هذه الأمة شيئا لم يكن عليه سلفها. That whomsoever introduces something into this religion, that which the Salaf of this Ummah were not upon. Meaning, before Malik. Malik 179, he's saying, our Salaf, that the Salaf of this Ummah were not upon. Meaning, before me they were not upon. Before him is who? There's only one generation, then you got the Sahaba. He died in 179. Before him, you got the likes of Ayyub al-Sakhtiani. Or you got the likes of Imam al-Zuhri. Before him, khalas, it's the generation that met the Sahaba. He's saying, whoever introduces into our affair that which our Salaf, the Salaf of this Ummah were not upon. Look at our, we've got 15, 14 centuries that came after Malik, or 13 centuries after Malik. Even more so in our times. Then he said, فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. That whomsoever claims, or whomsoever introduces something into this Ummah, meaning by way of his religion, that which the Salaf of this Ummah were not upon, then he has claimed, or he has accused that the Prophet ﷺ was treacherous in conveying the message. He was treacherous to the message. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ, because Allah, the Most High, He said, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Because Allah said, that this day I've perfected for you your religion, and completed my favor upon you, and I'm pleased with Islam as your religion. Then he said, Imam Malik, that's from Surah Ma'idah, ayah number 3. Then Imam Malik said, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُونُ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. So therefore, that which was not religion then, meaning in the time of the Messenger Muhammad and the Sahaba, if it was not religion then it is not religion today. Meaning in the time of Malik, it's not religion. So how much more so, we in 1436, Barakallahu Feekum, Rabbi Uthani. 1436, this is Malik saying this in the first century, or in the beginning of the second century. This is Malik. So what bidah do they bring in our times? Look, be careful. This is why we say that our religion is not based upon ta'assub. We are not fanatical to any particular individual. We love the ulama, we love the scholars. As long as they are scholars of hadith, scholars of sunnah, scholars ahl sunnati wal jama'ah salafiyun, we love them. Whether it be Abu Hanifa or Malik or Shafi'i or Ahmad ibn Hanbal, whether it be Ibn Awn or Sufyan al-Thawri or Bukhari or other than them, whether it be Ibn Taymiyyah, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab or Sheikh bin Baz from this time, or Sheikh al-Albani, Sheikh ibn Taymiyyah, we love them. They are ulama. They are ulama. And they speak with the words of the Salaf. But it is possible in Aqeedah anyway, they're one. We're not talking about Aqeedah or Manhaj. Aqeedah Manhaj is one. Barakallahu feekum. However, in some matters of Ijtihad, they may differ. When they differ in matters of Ijtihad, which are, you know, Masail Far'iyya, they are branches of the religion. Like for the example that I gave about Salatul Taraweeh, is it 8, is it 20, is it 30, is it 36, what is it? You know, what is the Salatul Taraweeh, what's its number? Scholars differ. Should you point your finger into Tashahud and move, or should you just point and keep still? Should you point at the points of Dua, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says in the Tashahud, or should you keep it pointed throughout the whole of the Tashahud? After you go into Ruku' and you come out of Ruku', Sami Allahu liman hamida, do you put your hands on your chest? Or do you leave them by your side? What is the... These are matters of ikhtilaf that even the Salaf of this Ummah, they discussed. So these are from the branches. But in the Usul, in the Aqidah, in the Tawheed, they were one. How they dealt with the Khawarij, they were one. How they were with the rulers, they had one opinion. They weren't differing. Because how we deal with the rulers is a matter of Aqidah. If you open up Sharh Aqidatul Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, you find in there that he mentions that that Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab said, and we hold it to be forbidden to rebel against the ruler, whether he be righteous or whether he be impious, whether he be tyrannical. Forbidden. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions straight afterwards, he's included this in his Aqidah. Why? Because rebelling against the Muslim ruler and showing obedience to him is a matter of Aqidah. The forbiddance of rebelling against him is Aqidah. And to show him obedience, even if he is sinful, is Aqidah. Aqidah, barakallahu feekum. That's why the term manhaj and Aqidah is interchangeable with us. We will use it interchangeably. What's your manhaj? Meaning, what's your Aqidah? What's your Aqidah? Meaning, what's your manhaj? Interchangeably. Even though some of the scholars say that manhaj is something broader. But nevertheless, what was deen then, is deen today. What was not deen then, is not deen today. So upon that, inshallah, I'll finish. And as a final, and I mentioned it yesterday, and I'll mention it here again today. If there's one thing that you've learned throughout these gatherings of where you've sat with me, barakallahu feekum, is that you are wary and you are cautious from whom you take your knowledge. Even in Trinidad. We are leaving, alhamdulillah, our brother Yusuf, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, Muwahideen Publications, he invited us. Myself, Abu Hakim, Abu Iyad. And you know over the years that we have been visiting you for what? Nearly 10 years? Somewhere in that time, we've been visiting you constantly. Once a year, twice a year, if not myself, Abu Hakim, Abu Idris, our brother Abu Iyad, Hassan al-Somali. The brothers have been visiting you constantly. And and over these years, we've got an idea, not even an idea, actually we've got a fairly good understanding over these years of the dynamics of the da'wah in Trinidad and Tobago. And we realize that the brothers, because of maybe their zeal to learn or to study, that whoever turns up new, they gather around him and they sit with him without referring back to your elders. Without referring back to your elders. You're relying upon, barakallahu feekum, you look at a man and some of you say, MashaAllah, he's memorized the Qur'an. And you use that as a measure of the correctness of his ability to teach. Or you will say, MashaAllah, he's memorized 40 hadith Nawwi, or maybe half of Sahih al-Bukhari. He must be upon sunnah. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what do you say about the Khawarij? That their prayer will make your prayer look insignificant.
Their reciting will make your reciting look insignificant. Their ibadah will make your ibadah look insignificant. Nothing. Sahaba! These are not the affairs that we look at. These are important. Ibadah is important. La shak. Quran and his memorization and his recital important. La shak. Hadith and memorization. La shak important. But that is not, we are not deceived by a person who comes with that. We say to them, Sammu lana rijalakum. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, name to us your men. We want to know who you studied with. Yes, you can come here and memorize 7 recitations of the Quran or 10. You can come here with the whole of Bukhari. Muhammad Ilyas Kandahalawi, the founder of Jamaat al-Tabligh, what do they call him? What's his nickname that they call him? Sheikh al-Hadith. Because he memorized Kutub al-Sittah. We're going to take knowledge from him? I'm asking you. We're going to take knowledge from him? Abu Ghudda. He has a checking of Sunan. He has a khidmah he's given, a service he's given to Sunan al-Nasa'i. Are you going to sit in his durus, this man who believes that you can call upon the dead? It's not enough. Barakallahu feekum. Ali al-Halabi. How many books he has, how many checkings of hadith that he has. I can't enumerate them. Subhanallah. You're going to take knowledge from him? There was a man in the time of Imam Ahmed, Ya'qub bin Shayba. His name was Ya'qub bin Shayba. Imam al-Dhahabi said about him, Imam al-Dhahabi, and you know Imam al-Dhahabi, Sira A'lam al-Nubala, somewhere in the region of 34 or 35 volumes, right, in the biographies of the illustrious people in history. Some of them good, some of them bad, but of those well-known people in history, he comes to the name Ya'qub bin Shayba in the time of Imam Ahmed. He said, Kana Imam, he was an Imam. He was a muhaddith. He was an allama. He was thiqa, trustworthy in narrating hadith. He said, however, he fell into the bid'ah of the lafziyya. He fell into the bid'ah with regard to khalq al-Quran, the issue of, remember Masjid Saghan has mentioned the issue of the creation of the Quran. He fell into it, but with a twist. He said, the Quran is the speech of Allah, but our recitation of the Quran, it is created. Imam Ahmed said, this man is a mubtadi' sahibul bid'ah. Hajruhu. And abandon him. So, this Ya'qub bin Shayba, Imam al-Dhahabi continues by saying, he wrote a musnad, 30 volumes. 30 volume musnad. Hadith of Allah's Messenger in the order of narrators. He said, if he had completed it, it would have reached 100 volumes. But alas, Imam Ahmed refuted him, and after him, 1,000 scholars of hadith refuted him also, and he was abandoned. You got anyone here of the level of knowledge of Ya'qub bin Shayba? Imran, anyone? Ya'qub bin Shayba, Amran? Idu, anyone? 30, anyone written here 30 volumes of a musnad from himself with chain of narration going back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nobody. Anyone here that has the category that Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned? Imam, Allama, Muhaddith, Thiqa. Nobody. Yet when he fell into that bid'ah, one bid'ah, Imam Ahmed abandoned him. When the ruler wrote to Imam Ahmed and he said, we're thinking of appointing. This was after the punishment of Ahmed, and Ahmed was released and the ruler repented. He wrote to Imam Ahmed, I write to you concerning Ya'qub bin Shayba. Ya'qub bin Shayba, should we appoint him as the governor? Should we appoint him as the governor? Imam Ahmed said, do not appoint him as the governor, for indeed he's rajulun su', he's an evil man, sahib bid'ah. And he's a man of innovation. Ya'qub bin Shayba. You have people in Trinidad that have turned up from nowhere. And you sit with them and you don't refer back to your elders that have been teaching in this land for over, what? How long? 10 years. Imran. Amran. Where's Amran gone? How many years has he been teaching? Longer? Same period, let's say 10, 15 years. Someone comes in here, you don't ask them? We've been coming here for 10 years.
You don't ask us. You don't say, Ya Aba Khadij, Ya Aba Hakim, Ya Aba Idris, Ya Imran, Ya Amran, Ya Fulan. You brothers have been doing da'wah here for 10 years, 12 years. Someone's turned up. Shall we sit with him? He sounds nice. He said he loves Al-Albani. Said he loves Bin Baz. Shall we sit with him? You're not asking. Mushkila ya ikhwan. This is where the problems begin. You don't go to your elders. You don't go to those who are more experienced. You don't ask the right questions. You're deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the fact that a person has memorized such and such. That's not enough. Where's the years upon the da'wah? Where's the clarification of the da'wah? When Ihya al-Turaf al-Islami came to Medina University, when Abu Hakim was in Medina in those days, I remember visiting him in about 1997. And I went to see him perform the Hajj. And Abu Hakim was a student at the Islamic University then. I think he started the university in 94 or 95. 94 maybe. So I visited him either 96 or 97. I was sitting with him. I said, Abu Hakim, what's happening? Because we're hearing some speech that some of the Kuwaitis, there's an organization in Kuwait and he's coming to give money to the students to join their organization. Or at least to bring them closer to themselves. He said, yes, there is. Jam'iyyat Ihya al-Turaf al-Islami, and their leader is Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq. He said, Alhamdulillah, we went to see Sheikh Rabia. Then we went to see Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabir. And we went to see Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Madkhali. 97 this was. 97. All of them without exception, they said, do not take a penny from this organization. Even if they claim, because Abdul Rahman al-Khaliq was claiming, what? That he's a graduate from Islamic University of Medina. Graduate! Not only a graduate, a master's and a PhD. Studied with the best of the scholars, Abdul Rahman al-Khaliq. Yaqub bin Shaybah, here's another one for you. Abdul Rahman al-Khaliq. Studied under Bin Baz. Studied under Ibn Uthaymeen. Studied under Sheikh al-Albani. Studied under Muhammad Adil Shaqiti, Sahib Adwal Bayan. The author of the Tafsir of the Qur'an in 9 volumes or 8 volumes. Beautiful, large volumes. Adwal Bayan, he studied under him. And he went to Kuwait, he's Egyptian originally, went to Kuwait and they brought him into the organization. Then he started speaking with the speech of Hassan al-Banna and those people. But he still said, look, I'm a student of Bin Baz. In fact, in those days, Bin Baz used to praise him. It was only a little bit later that Sheikh Bin Baz refuted him. He said, look, I'm a student of Bin Baz. I graduated from Islamic University. I've got a master's, I've got a PhD. And he was older in age. Sheikh Al-Albani used to say about him, he used to be my student. Anyone here can say that? That Al-Albani said about you that you're his student? Sheikh Al-Albani said, he was my student. He came to me as an Ikhwani. He became my student and we made him into a Salafi. Then, alas, he deviated again. But he came and they came with dinar, dananir, millions of them into the whole of the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They went to Sheikh Muqbil as well. They said, look, you're living in a dump, mud huts in Yemen. We'll replace all of this, ACs, marble, everything that you want, libraries, everything. Sheikh Muqbil said to him, take your Kuwaiti dinar and get out of here. We don't need your money. We don't need Ahlul Sunnah. Do not seek isti'ana from Ahlul Bid'ah. We don't seek help from Ahlul Bid'ah. So the Salafi students, they didn't take the money. Who took the money? In Medina, Abu Usama. Goldie, as Ahmed, Abu Awais Ahmed, Abdullah Ali mentioned, rahimahullah. He took money. Yasir Qadi. Tawfiq Chowdhury. These were people, money. Where do I sign? What do I sign? I don't have to read it. Just tell me where do I sign. Money. Dunya. Wallahi, we don't. When they came to Imam Ahmed, they said to Imam Ahmed, Ya Abu Abdullah, you see, you would accept help from the Jews and the Christians, but you would not accept help from Ahlul Bid'ah. He said, Ya Bunaya, my son, Ahlul Bid'ah will deceive you. The open kafir, the open disbeliever, he will not deceive you. You will not be deceived by him. We don't take money, we don't want their money, barakallahu feekum. Sheikh Muqbil didn't take a penny. You know, the BBC, after Sheikh Muqbil died, the BBC said, a man has died in Yemen. BBC know him. In Britain, they said, a man has died in Yemen. And they said at the low end of the estimates, he converted 1 million people to Salafiyah without ever asking for a penny from the people. It is not money that brings the hearts. In fact, if you read what Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions in Al-Ha'iyya, in Ishar Mundhumat Al-Ha'iyya, Shaykh Fawzan says that when you start taking money from them, this is what causes division in the heart. We don't take money from Ahlul Bid'ah. We don't need the help of Ahlul Bid'ah. We don't want Ikhwanis paying our wages and paying our money. This is not from the manhaj of the Salaf. They used to run from this. Look what Imam Ahmed said. Yes, I will seek help from the Jews and the Christians, but not from Ahlul Bid'ah. Because they will deceive you. Look at Abdurrahman the Khaliq when they went to Sheikh Rabi. This is a man who graduated and he's in charge of a huge... We don't want your money. Sheikh Rabi said, don't touch his money. We are not in need of it, because when you take the money, then you have to start following their conditions. Don't speak about us. Don't clarify things. Just speak about general affairs of deen. Hellfire, paradise, how to make wudu. This is seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, mashallah, when he was upon the hijrah, how hard it was from one place to another. Allah is happy with this. Anwar Awlaki was teaching that in almost every masjid in America. Then he came with his bid'ah. Even in the United Kingdom, wallahi, there was nothing that the people had upon Anwar al-Awlaki. They said, you people, why are you refuting Anwar al-Awlaki? This was before his, when he came out openly with his takfir and his khuruj and his bid'ah. They said, why do you at Maktab al-Salafiyya refute Anwar al-Awlaki? We said, because his companionship is Ahlul Bid'ah. That's enough for us. They said, have you heard his seerah? I said, no, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Just like if you gave me the Muslims of Ya'qub, which anyway, it's last. But even if you brought it, I don't want to read it. I'm not interested in the books of Ali al-Halabi or Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'arabi or Yahya al-Hajuri. I'm not interested in their books. Ahlul Sunnah will suffice. Ahlul Sunnah, our Imam suffices. Fawzan is sufficient. Rabi is sufficient. Ubaid is sufficient. Muhammad bin Ali is sufficient. Ahmed al-Najmi, Zayd al-Madkhali, Muqbil bin Hadi, Albani bin Baz, Mutaymin. They're sufficient for our era and the likes of them. So be careful, brothers. You are eager in seeking knowledge, but don't let that eagerness make you go overboard. You know who the Salafi elders are in this country, and I've named them, and our brother Idu, and Amran and Imran, and our brothers. Not to say that Muhideen publications that they give, that they themselves give da'wah, no, but they facilitate for others for years. Not to say that anyone is not free of mistakes. People make mistakes. But recognize the mistake, rectify. We have made mistakes and we rectify. You make mistakes and you rectify. This is the way of Ahlul Haqq. And when the truth comes, they accept the truth. So be careful from whom you take your knowledge. You have durus in Shaghwanas. You have durus by our brother Idu here. Attend them. You have durus by our brother Imran in Masjid Shaghwanas also. Attend them. They teach Arabic. They teach Quran. If you think that you're too, well, it's not on my level. I want to go higher than that. Go higher than that. Then go online and listen to Miraf. If you got Arabic, listen to Miraf radio. And you will listen to Sheikh Rabi. You will listen to Sheikh Ubay. You will listen to Muhammad ibn Wahab. You will listen to the Mashaykh of Medina. Go to Sheikh al-Fawzan's website and you will listen to the live durus. If you believe that this is not enough. If you believe that, which you shouldn't anyway. And even if you do, then you still attend because these are your brothers. Barakallahu feekum. And we increase our ranks and we increase our numbers. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakumullahu khair. Inshallah, Abu Iyad will come straight in. If that's okay, Hidu? Yeah? Inshallah. Mata? Oh, okay. Khalas. Anyway, you come. So Abu Iyad will begin his dars now. And then we will conclude with Abu Hakim. And then this will be the last day. But we'll be back, inshallah. And inshallah, when we come back stronger and more united, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.